Good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining us today. Another edition of Nothing But Net, and we're brought to you by Duchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. Thank you to Duchess. Another interesting week in the league. We had some results that I think people consider a little bit of eyebrow raising. I don't know if I share that, but I got to see the best game, most entertaining game that I've seen this season. Got to see a sleeper team get a win. And then we're going to have to talk about another team, Stanford, that we've talked about, execute the way we think they can and get a really, really big win. And to help me break it down, as always, my co-host, Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good, Dave. Another week where there's some consistency and some inconsistency. You know, we saw teams like Duquesne, and I think had a good week beating Greenwich, and then last night Wilton, and they've kind of got it back together. And then we saw, a team like Stanford, who on any given night can beat anybody, upsets Richfield at, and I don't consider it an upset, by the way, Richfield 61-60. But we saw some good things, I think, all along. Ward kind of came back on West, beat West Hill. Ludlow, they had a tough week. But again, I think you said it best in your article that these teams are going to beat one another, and it's going to be an interesting year, I think, as far as who's going to finish 2 through 8 in the playoffs. I think Staples just continues to dominate. I mean, they last night destroyed a decent Greenwich team, and that's about where we are right now with the SEC.
Yep, and we're actually taping this show on Saturday morning. I know later on and Saturday afternoon, I'm going to go get a chance to see Ridgefield in person against Fairfield Ward. But yeah, I agree. I don't think you can use the word upset this year unless somebody beats Staples, and then it's a major upset. But I don't consider, McMahon or Stanford games upset. I just think 2 through 12, there's not a lot. 2 through 10, I'm sorry. I don't think it goes 12 deep, but I think it goes 10 deep. But any of those teams, two of these teams are going to end up on the outside for the playoffs. And there's not that much difference between them and the 2, 3, 4 seeds. It all comes down to execution. Why don't we start, just because it's the most recent game in my mind, and I told you yesterday on my drive home, I thought it was the most entertaining, and that was Duquesne's 59-56 win over Wilton. And both teams, I think on paper, they're about as even as I can think of any two teams. Duquesne was without one of its starters, Will Sapione, but I thought they were hitting the three, and one reason they were hitting the three and the thing they were doing better than I've seen them do this year was distributing the ball and moving the ball and getting good open looks.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. Anytime you can go to Wilton and hit 8 threes, you're doing a good job, because it's not a really good shooting background, but Duquesne did. And as you said, they moved the ball well. And, Wilton hung around and, right down to the end. Almost had a shot at the end to tie it up. So it was an exciting game. I watched it on live stream the second half, especially. And the good crowd was there. And the teams were battling back and forth. And I think your jinx on when you're covering your Canaan was broken when Canaan was able to win. But
Danny told me before the game, if they lose, I'm not allowed to come to any games. I think that's Joel's feeling right now. Wilton coach Joel Garriak, who I, by the way, I negated to say at the top, he's going to be joining us a little bit to talk about the game last night and the league at midseason. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, just I was going to say that in watching the game, I think that New Canaan might be a little bit more talented than Wilton, but Joel does such a great job of keeping his team in the game. And they seem to come up with a basket when they had to. So, and they battle right to the end. So I think they're both going to be playoff teams. Where they are going to be in the standings, it's to be determined. But as you say, you picked the right game to cover because some of the other games last night were kind of lopsided. But again, kudos to New Canaan for pulling out a win at Wilton and Wilton for giving them an effort and almost coming away with a victory.
Now, it's kind of interesting, too. Danny Belzer, the Rams coach, made some changes to the starting lineup after an 18-point loss last week to Fairfield Ludlow. And one of the guys that got moved to the bench was Blue Verton, and he had one of his best games, if not the best game, his best game of the year, with 22 points. 14 of them came in the second half. He was hitting his open looks. He had 3 3-point shots. And, you know, moving the ball around. And I talked to him after the game. Danny raved about just how he took what, you know, is a negative situation. You can't sugarcoat it when you get moved to coming off the bench. That's not a positive for you. But, yeah, he's worked a lot. He worked hard. He had a great outlook. He said, you know, if the coaches didn't care about me, they wouldn't be doing this. They're trying to get me to play the way I'm capable of. And he did that. And then the other player was Dallas George, and he had 11 rebounds to lead the team. So, you know, you only played 5 guys, so I can't say that you shook up your lineup too often. But if you played 7 or 8 guys and you're in a situation like that as a coach, that's exactly what you want to see from two kids like that.
No, and I think, as you said, the reaction of the two players who came off the bench was a positive one, and that's obviously good for the team. And the fact that they were able to come through made it even more positive. I thought Burton was key to the victory and to the win, as was the rebounder. But, it's a team effort, and that he was able to put together that those two guys coming off the bench and helped them a lot. And, you know, and sometimes the other thing, too, was Sapion, who I believe was their leading scorer, was unable to play. He was injured. Other guys pick it up. But I think that New Canaan did that last night. The one constant on New Canaan to me is Henry Chandra. He does a very good job all around rebounding, scoring, and, keeping the team together. So, Danny has a nice combination here. They have been inconsistent. I think defense is the thing that they have to continually improve on. But their ability to score this year and move the ball, I think, is a little bit better than it has been in the past. And, they have to be considered, I think, one of the top 5 or 6 teams, 4 or 5 teams in the league. And you can't discount them. They just do a good job. Whatever they have to do, they seem to be able to do it.
Yeah, you talked about Chandra. He had 14 points last night, a name I definitely had not heard of, and we should maybe keep an eye on because he looked really good in minutes at point guard, is Braxton Niedermeyer. That might be your new name for the year, Braxton Niedermeyer. He had 9 points, and I was watching him, and he sees the court really well. So he's a player that could be given New Canaan minutes. You know, I've talked to you. I've definitely been higher on New Canaan than I know you have. And last night they played the way I think they're capable of. And Danny's been saying this is going to be a team that's going to be a second half team. And they're playing the toughest part of the schedule right now as they're getting better. So I think they're going to be a tough team as the second half of the season comes on. I think they're going to be a tough team in the playoffs. And then again, you know, we talk about Wilton, and Wilton's going to be there too. I think these are two even teams, and I think when we're all said and done, they're going to occupy spaces. They're not going to be too far apart in regular season standings. And, you know, one of them's going to be maybe a 4 or 5 seed. The other one, maybe a 6 seed. I'd probably put them 5-6 right now, or 4-6 in some order. But again, they're so similar. I think that's going to be the case. And the second half schedule for New Canaan is just going to be accommodating to them. But why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we'll take a look at some of the other teams in the league. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC. Okay, and we're back. And Mike, a couple of other teams of interest. Why don't we start with Stanford and Ridgefield? Because we've been talking a lot about Stanford, a lot about whether they're using Jordan Sutton enough. They really struggled in a game against Staples where he got into foul trouble and didn't see the ball a lot. And Tuesday night he saw the ball a lot, and we saw what can happen when he does. He looked like Bill Walton with a 12-for-13 shooting performance, scored 24 points. And he was able, that was enough to help overcome an outstanding game by Ridgefield's Jay Genova. And Stanford goes on the road, tough road trip up to Ridgefield, and came away with a 61-60 win.
Yes, I watched that game, and it was a really entertaining and a good game. I think the key was, obviously, Jordan Sutton stayed on the floor. He was able to play most of the whole game. He dominated inside when he got the ball, and his teammates looked for him. As you say, 12 out of 13, that's pretty good shooting. And, all around the basket. And then the other thing about him was defensively, he was pretty solid. He got a lot of rebounds, got some block shots. He was key. And that game could have gone either way. I'll tell you, coming away from that game, I was impressed, obviously, with the fact that Stanford was playing well and getting the ball to Sutton. But on the Ridgefield side of things, I've watched a lot of the guards in this league. And Genova, to me, is if not, next to Klatsko, and actually the equal of Klatsko, and Wilson and Trumbull. He's as good as anybody. He had 33 points, but every time Stanford scored and looked like Stanford was going to pull ahead, he'd come down and hit a three or a driving reverse layup. And at the end there, it was 7 seconds to go. He had the ball and drove to the basket down one, and took a shot. It rimmed in and out. He almost was the hero that night. He's very impressive. And they do have some people around him that can, beat you inside. I think Foley is his name, number 34, and he's tough inside. So, I mean, in Stanford's case, it was a really good win up at Richfield. But in Richfield's case, I wouldn't write them off at all. I think they're going to be right there at the end, and it's going to be an exciting finish. They may be one of the few teams, in my opinion, that have a shot at Staples. They do have the Genova at the guard and one or two other guards that are pretty good players, and the kid inside that may give Staples some trouble. And Stanford with Sutton, and any given night could beat anybody. That's why I think I told you before off the air that I think the week coming up when they play New Canaan on Wednesday night is going to be a big determining factor. George Sutton and beat New Canaan and Danny and his disciplined game. It'll be interesting to see and to watch.
Yeah, and you touched on a good point. We're talking about Sutton staying on the court, and again, he hasn't gotten a lot of love from the officials so far. But when he's on the court, he's going to be a factor on the defensive end, whether he's getting touches or not, and he's going to be a factor on the defensive board. So in that part alone, you don't want to neutralize a player like that. Yeah, Ridgefield, and as I said, we're taping this Saturday, and I'm going to get a chance to see them in person. The one thing, I guess, when you're playing Staples, and more so, though, with some other teams, is they have height, and a lot of teams don't have height. That's a missing commodity for a lot of teams in the league. So, I still have Ridgefield number two right now. I don't know. Trumbull or Ridgefield right now? I'm not quite sure. Trumbull still has a tough part of its schedule to play. I may give Ridgefield still a slight edge over Trumbull right now. I still think they're the second best team, and like I said, everyone's going to beat everybody, so I certainly don't dismiss them. Brian McMahon, I went over to, there were a whole bunch of games of probably equal import on Tuesday night, and I sort of decided, A, I was going to stay close to home and have the 5-minute ride, but B, I hadn't seen Brian McMahon, and I know everybody's been up on them, and they came away, it was an ugly game. Fairfield Ludlow really struggled offensively, and maybe has raised a little bit, a couple of question marks and flashing yellow lights. But Brian McMahon was able to do enough down the stretch and pulled away and came out with a 41-34 win over the Falcons on the road.
Yeah, and, McMahon has athleticism, and they have several players that can score the ball. They're quick. And I think that gave Ludlow a little bit of trouble. The one thing with Ludlow, and I think I said it before, is that they seem to have a little bit of trouble scoring from the outside. And I think that was shown when they played McMahon. I don't know what the percentage was from the perimeter, but it wasn't good. And it kind of cost them going down a stretch, and McMahon was able to pull out the victory.
Yeah, I want to talk about Ludlow in a second and some of the shooting issues, but McMahon's another team that could have a different leading scorer on every night. They don't have that go-to guy. The player who hit the biggest shot of the night was Jahad Nash, not a name we've heard a lot. You normally would think somebody like Tavares Tweedy or Justin Daniel or one of the other guys might do it, but I think he freelanced a little bit, but he took a defender off the dribble and hit a really nice shot that was pretty much put the game in hand. But they didn't have anybody in double figures, but you look at the box score, Nash with 9, C.J. Gray with 8, Tweedy with 7, 3 guys with 5. I mean, they're going to score more than 41 points on most nights. It was a really difficult offensive game for both teams. But we kind of saw with their up-tempo play, they play good defense. Again, McMahon is going to be in that pack, I think, that's battling for a spot. And they showed how they could beat a team that many would consider higher ranked than them, higher ranked certainly in the standings, and one that we've been talking about as a possible top 4 seed.
Right, and we'll find out more about them this next week too, because they play New Canaan on Friday. So it's going to be a big week, exciting week coming up for New Canaan and for McMahon and Stanford. We'll get to know a little bit more about each of them.
And then again, we've talked a little bit, and you more so than me, about concern with Ludlow offensively. And, they're in a little bit of a slump right now. So we're going to have to, if they don't get the ball inside to Noecker and teams are starting to deny him the ball, McMahon did a good job of it. He didn't get the ball in the post many times. But where are the points going to come from otherwise, and what are they going to do? They only hit 2 3-point shots. They really were off with their 3-point shooting. Yeah, the question is, are they in a little bit of a slump with their outside shooting, or is this going to be an issue we're going to continue to see over the second half of the season?
Well, they're going to have to show me that they can consistently hit an outside shot because, as you say, teams are going to try and shut down Nowaker inside. And, Stevolini and the other guards and forwards are going to have to hit some outside shots. They did a little bit better job of that when they played Norwalk, but that was a close game, too, and they were able to pull that one out coming down the stretch on Friday night. Thursday, they actually played. But, so Ludlow has to, if they hit the threes, they open up Nowaker, and they're tough to beat. But, they're going to have to become consistent, as most teams do. You talk about hitting threes. I think the game you saw where Trumbull hit eight threes or something like that, that's going to make you look like a really good team. And
they hit 16 threes one night.
16 threes. And when you hit that, you're going to look like a really good team. And Trumbull is a good team, but you're always much better. You look better than you are sometimes when you can hit the three. So, again, that was proved up in the New Canaan-Wilton game, wasn't it? Where New Canaan hit eight threes. They looked good offensively. So, again, that's something that has kind of changed the game, except maybe for Stanford. Although they're going to have to hit threes, too, because you can't rely on Jordan Sutton to score 24 points when he's being double and triple teamed.
Okay, well, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Wilton coach Joel Garriak about last night's game against New Canaan. And he scouts the league as well as anybody. We'll talk a little bit about the state of the league as we're at the midway point of the season. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC. Okay, we're back, and we've been talking a little bit about Wilton basketball, and we're going to go to the master of the Warriors, knows everything about them and knows everything about the league, probably scouts as much as anybody, and that's Wilton coach Joel Garriak. Joel, how you doing?
Doing pretty well considering last night's outcome, but doing well.
Yeah, we talked, Mike and I talked a little bit about the game. I was there. I have to say, from a fan standpoint and from a sports writer standpoint, it was probably the most enjoyable. It is the most enjoyable game I covered. It was tough to come out on the wrong end of it, but it was a really good basketball game.
No, it was a fun game. We had a good crowd last night, which always makes things a little better. Danny's group had a good job. They didn't have Sapp last night, so they played a little differently than we expected as far as sharing the ball. They did a good job with it.
I think on paper, and it proved so on the court, you two are two of the most similar teams that I could think of in the league. And we spoke after the game and everybody was asking you the outcome and you said it was going to come down to 2 points either way. And it came down to three. And if everything had gone right for you, it would have gone into overtime.
Yeah, correct. I mean, looking at the stats after the game, it's one of the first times as a coach that we actually had more twos and more threes. We just ended up losing the game from on the foul line. So it was like I said, it was a fun game to be a part of, and both teams played hard. It was first half was pretty high scoring for both of us together, 36-32. They slowed us down the second quarter, and then third quarter, and then after that, it was just a very good game down the stretch. Neither team could quite pull away. They got up by five or six. We cut it back and cut it down to 2 or 3, and had a chance at the end to tie it.
Yeah, I thought that was really impressive by both teams. And the biggest lead, you had a 7-point lead in the first half, but most of the time the game was within 3-4 points at most. And each time one of you made a run, the other team did a good job of coming right back. And at the end there, you just weren't able to answer their last run.
Yeah, we got that lead. I think it was 53-51 on top of my head. I can't remember on top of my head, but we made two baskets in a row, and then they came back and they scored when Blue got the and one. And then they came over and they pulled away from us a little bit. We pressured them a little bit at the end. Lucky to get a steal and and one, give it a chance at the end. And they said last shot of the game. Wasn't sure if Danny was going to foul or not, so we tried to get a quick shot up on that one because he could have fouled us and put us on the line or let us shoot it. And we got the shot off and then just a little bit off. It was a 35-foot shot. It's not going to always go in.
Yeah, and it looked like you missed a couple of shots when New Canaan went up five, and it looked like you were in trouble. And then Laszlo Miller, a player I wasn't familiar with, he only scored 3 points in the game, but he did a nice job in the backcourt of blocking a pass and got the ball and went in and scored and fouled and hit the free throw. And that brought life back into you. And it was kind of a microcosm of the game, how your team just kept battling back.
I agree. I mean, Laz didn't play much this game. He's been a big part for us this year. He's playing about, 8, 10, 15 minutes between whatever game we're in the game. This last game, we didn't press as much and run as much, and he's on that kind of pressing team. And when he got in the game, he made impact right away. Got an and one, got there, brought some energy, and gave us a chance at the end is all you can ask for.
I thought your team did a lot of good things that bode well for the long term and as you enter the second half of the season. Number one, you can have a different player lead the team in scoring, it seems like, on any given night. I know Sean Kalisky is most likely to be the shooter that will get hot, but yesterday you had Gavin Tuhill, who did a really good job, hit a couple of threes, and led the team in scoring with 16 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one special thing about this team this year. At any given night, somebody can score 15, 20 points. Sean's done it a couple of times. Max Totten's done it a couple of times. Gavin's done it a couple of times. Even Curtis Jackson's had mid-double figures a few times. Jimmy Dineen and Henry Major off the bench are both kids that can put points on the board pretty quickly. So it's nice to have as a coach that you don't have to sit there and rely on one kid. It's nice to have that spread out and keep the tempo up and you keep rotating kids in and not get tired.
Somewhat a similar team to what you've had in the past and wanting to go up-tempo and looking for the three-point shot. You had 9 of them last night. A lot of times that's gonna win the games for you.
I agree. We played there in that third quarter. Like I said, Dan did a good job of slowing us down from getting out in transition. But we do want to play up-tempo best we can. We got shooters this year. We have a little bit number to play anywhere from 8 to 12 kids a game. So depending on what we're doing, and every one of the kids has the green light to shoot from the outside. So it's there. The kids enjoy playing that way. Just, unfortunately, sometimes you don't pull out the wins when you hit 9 threes.
Yeah, you look at the big picture right now, and you're 8-3 overall and 4-2 in league play. As you assess your team at midseason, you happy with what you've seen so far?
Oh, of course. I mean, is there things to work on? Of course there is. I mean, do we think we could have won every game we played in so far? Maybe another Trumbull game, the way Trumbull shot against us? We do. But the kids work hard every day. We're getting better every day, which is the main thing, especially when you get towards February and you get into March. You want to be playing at your top place in the league. And right now we're getting there slowly but surely. I mean, we have a big schedule coming up. We got Staples next, and you got Ridgefield still, you got Ludlow still, so you got those top teams, and West Hill and McMahon are playing great, so we have all those teams to still play against. So it's a long way to go, but it's nice to see the kids coming along and getting to the point that we're at a game, every game going in, the kids believe they can win them.
You, as much as any coach, has probably seen the rest of the league. What's your impression of the league as we're at the midpoint of the season?
I think the league is very strong, especially middle of the pack. I mean, I've talked to people outside of our league as well, and they think the FCAC is definitely the deepest league this year. May not be the best team. We all know Notre Dame, West Haven is really, really good. But the outside of the consensus is that from 1 through 10 to 1 through 12 in our league is pretty good this year. Every game is going to be a dogfight. Staples and Trumbull right now look really, really good. Everybody else right now is trying to find those spots to fill in there, and Ludlow can play with anybody. New Canaan can play with anybody. We believe you can play with everybody. So we're getting to a point that it's a very strong league. I think we'll be battle tested going to the playoffs. Once we get to the playoffs, it should be a good time. And I think we'll have a very good run as a group and as a whole in the state and the state tournament.
Yeah, we even saw this week, there's a pool of teams that are going to be battling for probably the 7th and 8th seeds. I think McMahon's a top 8 talent. They're certainly on the periphery there. And Ludlow had been playing really well, and McMahon was able to come out with a win earlier. And I think in the past, maybe we would say upset, and this year we're saying that's the way the league is.
I agree. I mean, I've seen every team this year. Every team, even the teams that may not be winning, quote-unquote, have good talent. I mean, McMahon, we know, has got top eight talent. Stanford High has top eight talent. West Hill has top eight talent. West Hill's two guards are really carrying them, doing a good job with Stevenson and Daquan. Ludlow, your preseason stuff, you had Ludlow and New Canaan up there already. We're getting better. Central has talent in there to do pretty well too. Central could beat anybody any given night when they're playing their A game. So it's definitely not a league you're going to walk into and go into a game and go, okay, that's a cupcake. That's that. We can look past them. You just can't do that this year.
Are there any teams that right now maybe we're talking about as being a 9, 10, 11 type team or a team, you know, that's in the race for one of the lower spots that you think is particularly more dangerous than some of the others?
I wouldn't say that. For one reason, one, because we still don't play teams, don't give me bulletin board stuff. But I do think that all the teams that are balanced, you know, right now, 3 through, I guess it would be 10 or 11, all can play and get in the playoffs. You saw the other night with West Hill going down to the overtime against Ludlow. Ludlow winning that game. Then McMahon beating Ludlow. I was at the Norc High game. Norc High gave Ludlow all it could take until the fourth quarter. So there's a lot of teams that can beat anybody a given night. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at any upsets that happen in the league because it's not really an upset this year. I think it's kind of balanced. I mean, there's really not a really dead last kind of type situation this year.
You'll play Staples Tuesday. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. How do you, I've talked to coaches and a lot of them just say privately they expect Staples to go 20-0. Obviously, when you're going to play them, you can't think that way. But when you have a team that's such a heavy favorite, the playoffs picture really hasn't taken shape yet, so you can't look at it. But is it one, you think it's going to be a situation where teams are going to want to avoid being 4, 5, or 8 and try to hold off on having to see them until the final and then take your best shot at them?
I mean, nobody would want to play a team that's that high of a favorite. But that being said, I think Trumbull is just as dangerous. And they could easily be the 2 seed. So if you're avoiding 1, 4, 5, and 8, you're still playing 2, you know, the 2, 3, 7, and 7 spots. So 7, 6. So it's not much of a difference. That game should be a great game. I'm not sure when they play it. So that should be a fantastic game. But I don't think there's a spot right now. I think everybody just wants to make sure they get in right now because the way the league is, you can't look that far ahead to worry about where you're going because if you do that, you end up losing 2 games, and then now you're not even in the playoffs. So I think everybody wants to get to the playoffs. So when you get there, we're 0-0, whether Staples goes 20-0 or not, it's a situation that we're all the same record. We're all back in the playoffs, and then they got to play one good game. If you have one great game, you can knock them off. So you never know.
What are you going to have to do to beat them?
Score more points.
That's what I was going to – outside of that, that's what I was going to say too. How do you score more points?
I mean, trying to keep them – I mean, they spread the ball so well. I think all 5 guys are in double figures this year. Klacko is doing a great job distributing the ball. He's averaging 9, 10, 11 assists somewhere at that point. Lohman is maybe the best shooter in the league. He's probably shooting 55-60% from 3. And then like I think New Canaan did a good job of trying to take away their top 3 with Tobias, and then Corrigan and then I forgot for his name. They go in there and they score 25 points each. So I mean, there's no simple way to do it. I think you just got to play your game. Obviously, you have to play your A game. You can't have a bad night at all, and match your energy, which is hard to do. They from the tip, they're playing hard as they can all the time. I mean, it's like watching the UConn women games when they're blowing teams out. They're still playing hard, and that's what they do every single moment. So it's tough to match that energy, but they do a great job with it. And you got to slow them down from getting in transition, which is, again, not easy.
All right. Well, Joel, no surprise you have Walton right in the middle of things, and I'd be surprised if that's not the case a few weeks from now. So good luck the rest of the way. Good luck with Staples, and thanks for taking a little bit of time here to talk with me today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thanks. That was Wilton coach Joel Garriak. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Mike and I will finish up our little tour around the league. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC. Okay, and we're back, and thanks again to Joel Garriak. Always appreciate his insight. Mike, why don't we go a couple of places here? First of all, Let's give a little bit of a shout out to the reigning player of the year and probably the front runner right now for a repeat of that award. Trumbull's Sean Wilson scored his 1,000th point last night in a game against Darien, so congratulations to him. And I got a text from Buddy Bray, and they're going to be honoring him Friday night at their home game against Stanford.
Well, well deserved. He's carried the team now. This is the third year. I saw him as a sophomore. I said, this kid's going to be good. And he got better during that year, better as a junior, and then now senior. He's probably the premier player in the league right now as far as the guard position and leading his team to victory. Trumbull's an interesting team, and Sean Wilson is the straw that serves the straws the drink, whatever they say about that.
Yeah, the straw that stirs the drink. We're going to I remember interviewing him as a sophomore after one of his big games, and he hasn't changed too much personality-wise. He's a very humble kid for somebody who's as accomplished as he is. So congratulations to him. Looking at this week, we're getting to the point now where it just seems a lot of the top teams have been playing the weaker half, the weaker portion of the league. Some of the games with the anticipated snow we're going to have today, Sunday, we're going to have the teams are already starting to move their schedules around, and some Tuesday games are getting pushed to Wednesday. But and I'm just looking at games that I have on my notes as possible coverages. And Tuesday right now, you got Ridgefield at McMahon and Wilton at Staples. Wednesday night right now, you got New Canaan at Stanford. So I'm sort of hoping, I'm always hoping for no snow. But even more so I can get a Tuesday and Wednesday looks in. And then Friday night, I have no idea where I'm going to go. But you got McMahon at New Canaan, you've got Ludlow at Ridgefield, and you've got Stanford at Trumbull. All teams that you know, five teams we think for certain will be in the playoffs and one that we think have a good chance. So the needle's going to start moving more often now.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't realize Stanford played Trumbull on that Friday. That's going to be an interesting game, too. Stanford has some big week. Coach Latour is going to have to get them ready because, I mean, obviously they're playing New Canaan. That's a determining game, and also then Trumbull is another one. So, again, a big week for Stanford. And like you say, all these teams are starting to play each other, and we'll get a better picture as to, you know, who's going to be where in the playoff standings. I think they're going to all make it, but it's going to be interesting. And I think you discussed earlier that, you know, you'd like to be in that away from the 4-5 eighth game because you don't want to draw Staples. Although at some point you got to play them, but you know, it'd be tough to beat them in the early rounds anyway.
There's a lot of teams that have really big weeks. I mean, you look at McMahon's got Ridgefield and New Canaan. Ridgefield's got McMahon and Ludlow. So we're going to start. This is where, you know, I always say the 2 week rule. And we're starting to get a really good feel for the league. And when we're talking next Sunday, I think we're going to have even more clarity as we see how these teams do. You know, we're at the midway point of the season, and haven't really thought how I'm going to package it, but I'm going to start doing my midseason review of the league so far. And you and I were talking about it a little bit on the ride home. And one of the things that was interesting is you asked me to name, like, the five-player all-FCAC team, which, driving in my car and not having everybody in front of me, it is very difficult to do. There's Sean Wilson, there's Sam Clacco, there's Jay Genova. I think those three right off the top of my head are givens, and there's a bunch of other kids in consideration. But it's kind of funny. We decided we were going to do a draft. We only got to three picks, But, you know, you said to me, okay, you have the first pick. And I said, okay, I'm taking Sean Wilson. And then you said, okay, well, you're taking Klocko next. And then you said, well, since I got the first, you got the third. And you said, you're taking Sutton. And I started thinking about it. And it's like, you know, do I want Sean Wilson and let's say Genova? Or do I want Sutton knowing that Klocko's going to be feeding him the ball? I'll tell you what, if you imagine if Sutton had Klocko on his team?
I'd like to have the two of those guys on my team. That'd be kind of tough to beat. But, you know, the other guys, not too bad either. And, you know, and that's not even mentioning, I'd probably take Turner off of West Hill. I think he's a terrific guard. We didn't say anything, by the way, about West Hill. They have a big game today, actually, which we're taping on Saturday. They play McMahon at 1 o'clock today. So
that's a really big game between two teams that are in the same position and kind of similar in styles.
Exactly, and there's so many other good players. Like you mentioned, the Staples, you could take two or three guys. If I had to have a contest of horse, I would definitely take the kid Lohman out of the Staples. I mean, he's shooting about 50, almost 60% from three, which is kind of incredible. He's a solid player. So, I mean, you know, as they say, there's so many guys that you could look at. And, Neuecker from Ludlow.
You got Sandra Scott at Greenwich. There's a long list, but in terms of, and that's where it's going to get hard, is like picking the fourth and fifth. I couldn't do it in my car ride home, but, you know, thinking about it, if you had to say, like, what's the best two-player combination, and, you know, would you want to have Klocko giving the ball to Sean Wilson, or would you want to have Klocko giving the ball to Sutton?
You have to play defense. So we're playing 5-on-5. So if it's in that case, I might take Klocko and Sutton because you're not going to get your layups against Sutton.
Sutton's a different player with with a Klocko or with a real true established point guard who also would be able to hit his shot. But, you know, that's a discussion we'll do a little bit more next week, and I'll be thinking about, and I'll have in the Rudin Report this week, I'll have my midseason report. So we'll look at that, and next week we'll have a lot of good games to talk about as we've kind of lined up here. So, Mike, a good show today, and I think we'll have a really good one next week. We'll have a lot of possible guests.
I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to the week. And hopefully everybody stays safe in the snowstorm. And, we'll be able to talk about it all next Sunday.
Okay, so that was this week's Nothing But Net, brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, served fast. Thank you to Dutchess. A lot of thank yous today. The biggest one goes to producer Paul Goodman. We had some initial issues, and we got to give a big shout out to Joel Geriak, who was very patient and was on the line a long time as we dealt with an issue here. But Paul, thanks a lot for your yeoman's work in getting this pre-recording done. Thanks to Mike Walsh, and a lot to talk about next week. But for now, everybody, stay safe, have a good week, and we'll see you again next Sunday.